Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions. Eagles fans everywhere, this is for you.
Now entering the game for Philly Press Box Radio, Bill Furman and Jim Chesko.
Thank you, Dan Baker. It's Wednesday, July 10th, 2019. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by the Irish Rover Station House in Langhorne, PA, and Allstate Insurance in Westchester, PA. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chet Chesko. And Chet, first of all, it's good to be back after being gone last week, making you go solo. The Phillies are... they've hit the All-Star break 6.5 games out of first place and in third place. The Sixers have been completely revamped. Our Philly Press Box Radio Hall of Fame will be unveiled tonight. And in case you haven't thought about it, Chet, we're in the last month of the year that doesn't have football.
Yeah, the Eagles have their first preseason game 4 weeks from tomorrow night. I'm good with that. And, hey, before we get into all that stuff, Bill, you've been a traveling man. How was your time in Atlanta and wherever the heck else you were last week?
Well, I pretty much was just in Atlanta, but had a good time. Went to the Phillies game 3 nights in a row. That was kind of cool. I think I mentioned in one of our earlier shows that Mike, my son, lives basically across the road from the stadium. So that was great, convenient. Went all 3 nights. Also went. He ran in the Peachtree 10K 4th of July race that he runs every year, and. Got to see the fastest time ever run for a 10K on U.S. soil. That was interesting. He didn't run it, but he did real well. He finished 505 out of 60,000 people. So that was a lot of fun.
About,
went to the College Football Hall of Fame
miles.
As well.
10K is about 6.2 miles.
There you 6.2. Yep, and went to the College Football Hall of Fame. That was real neat. Went to Olympic Park. There in the center of town. You wonder how they could have ever held an Olympics in the middle of that town with the traffic, but it was cool. Fun trip, and like all vacations, not long enough.
Yeah. Did you get to watch any of the All-Star game last night? Good game, I thought. Not overly exciting, but it was a good game, and I liked the back and forth with Joe Buck and the mic'd up players during the game.
Well, you know how I am about All-Star games, Chet. Didn't watch a second. Not a second of
them. Not a second? Oh, my goodness.
Not a second. I would have probably been more likely to watch it had there been more Phillies in it. I might have turned it on, but no. I'm not an all-star game guy in any sport, and didn't watch it.
Okay. I thought you might check it out for a little bit. It was okay. Like I said, it was fun to watch, fun to see all the players get introduced, and, good tight games, some
That's
good pitching.
That's the best part
pitchers.
Of it usually is the introductions
yeah.
and the, the cheers.
Yeah.
That's usually the best part of it.
Yeah, a couple of Cleveland guys and some former Cleveland players who got big ovations. Of course, they love Carlos Santana there again, the former one-year Philly who's now an all-star again in Cleveland. He couldn't do much with the Phillies, but now he's an all-star again. Go figure.
Yeah, and Charlie Morton was an all-star as well. I don't think he got to pitch, right, because he pitched on Sunday for the Rays. But
yeah,
he was an all-star as well.
Yeah, his Phillies career didn't last very long. They thought he was, washed up when he got hurt, had a little arm trouble. And, now he's a two-time All-Star, I guess, and a World Series guy. So that's the way it goes sometimes.
That's the way it goes. Well, we're going to talk a lot about the Phillies, and we're going to talk all kinds of stuff because I want to get your take on this whole women's soccer situation, too. I think there's going to be a lot to talk about there as well.
Oh, we got a lot to talk about this whole hour, Bill. Let's get our guest on, though, shall we?
All right. Well, and we're excited to have our first-time visitor, Philly Press Box Radio tonight, and baseball statistician and author, Ryan Spader, which should be a blast, I'm sure. Chet, give us a quick intro on Ryan.
All right, Bill. Ryan is the co-author of the book Incredible Baseball Facts, or Stats. I've heard him on with our pals Ray Dinger and Glenn Mack now on WIP several times over the last 2 months. He always has lots of fun facts for those guys. He also happens to be a former Marine, and further proof that he's a good guy, he is, like me, an alum of Penn State University.
Well, what more is there to intro than that? So let's welcome Ryan Spader to Philly Press Box Radio. Ryan, welcome.
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for having me, and I have to make a small correction there.
Yes.
you know, as in the Marines, they say no such thing as a former Marine. But I'm actually still active duty, believe it or not. I just moonlight doing the baseball stuff, sleep a good 3.5 hours a night.
Wow, I did not know that.
Kind of like,
thank you for your service.
You know, I get a full 45 minutes.
Awesome. Hey, thank you for your service, like Chet says.
Yes, indeed.
That's it.
All right, Ryan.
Great. Thank you, though.
Thanks for joining us. This is Chet. The other guy, as he's often known, is Bill, and we do have plenty to talk with you about. Let's start off with the book, Incredible Baseball Stats. Now, you and Kevin Reavy wrote it in 2016, and you've just updated it this year. How did you guys decide to put this book together originally, and what makes it different from other stat-oriented baseball books?
Oh, boy, how much time are you guys giving me here? So this was a kind of a vision that I had early on when I started this baseball stuff. After about 2.5 years, 3 years, when I got my first job offer in writing, it was from NBC Sports, and I didn't want to write because I don't consider myself much of a writer. After some coaxing, I eventually took the job, and then I looked at the just the range of information that I had pulled over the years, and I was like, you know what, I kind of want to write a book. Why not? Let's figure this out. And I had a friend, a roommate actually, who was friends with this guy who wrote this book, This Day in Philadelphia Sports. And I wanted to get an intro with him, and my roommate had talked to him and said, you know, my buddy has all these great baseball stats. He's got a Twitter account and everything. And Kev kind of blew it off. He was like, oh, Twitter, that's cute, whatever. And finally he ended up meeting with me. We talked baseball for a while, and Kev was just jaw on the ground with some of the stats I was dropping his way, some things that he's never heard before. And after what was supposed to be a burger and a beer, after about a couple burgers and some wings and maybe one too many beers, we decided we were going to do this book, and I decided to enlist him as help, because like I said, you know, I'm not the greatest writer in the world, and Kev's just a fantastic writer in his own right. And that's kind of how we got rolling. And then I think it was 2 days later we wrote a chapter on the Royals, because at that point the Royals hadn't won a World Series or anything in years. And our school thought was like, if we can get the publisher into the Royals, then we can get any baseball fan into any team. And the publisher was right away into it. We had our first contract offer about a week later.
And you clearly have some baseball connections. How did you get Wade Boggs to write the foreword for the initial book?
Oh, gosh. So the publisher wanted a Major League Baseball player to do a foreword. And first thing, Kev knew I had a connection with Wade Boggs. And first thing, he was like, you got to ask Wade. And how I initially got in touch with Wade was Wade's father was a Marine at Guadalcanal at just 16 years old. He did 4 years in the Marine Corps and then 24 years in the Air Force. So Wade has done some USO deployments himself. He's a big into the military. I run an annual fundraiser for the Semper Fi Fund. The very first one I did was very unsuccessful, despite the fact I had about 15,000 followers. I only raised about $500, and I was a little disappointed with that, given the 15,000 people who were following me. And so I was like, you know what, I got to enlist the help of a ball player. And who better than Wade Boggs, my favorite ball player of all time, and somebody who I know outright in his support for the military. And I asked him if he would sign some baseballs for some donors at no cost to him. Of course, I offered to pay for everything, which, of course, he didn't let me do anyway. And he was all on board. As soon as I brought it up, he said, yeah, whatever you need. And then he sent me a direct message and gave me his phone number and email and all that stuff. But then fast forward, you know, I'd already asked Wade Boggs a favor. So I'm like, Kev, absolutely not. I'm not asking Wade Boggs to do this for us. There's no way. And time goes by, and we need to know who's going to forward this book. And then I suggested Sean Foreman, the Baseball Reference founder and president, but they were keen on a major league ball player. And then Kevin and I discussed Curt Schilling. And then we decided maybe that's not the best idea, because some people kind of think Curt's an a-hole. So they probably wouldn't buy the book for that very reason. And then finally I caved, and I said, you know what, I'll ask Wade. I sent a email that was about 1,400 words. It took me about 4 hours to write, saying how we're going to get your number retired by the Red Sox, because at the time it wasn't. That's a whole other story, because we ended up having to rewrite the foreword after the Red Sox Sox announced it was getting retired, and all this stuff, right? And Bodgy responded in just 10 minutes, and all he said was, "Hey, Ryan, I hope you're well. Sure, I'll do it, Wade." That's all he said.
Wow. So Ryan, what got you started in this whole stats thing? Obviously, it's something you probably picked up as a kid, and how did it all grow?
Well, like you said, I was into it as a kid. Back of the baseball card was more fascinating to me than the front. I used to put them backwards in the binders, you know what I mean? I know we have a mutual friend, or at least he listened to your show, in Carl Henderson, who's Carl
yep.
Cards and Collectibles. And
yep.
I used to make weekly visits to him as a kid, from the time I couldn't have been 7 years old until, I still occasionally go in there when I'm back at home. And I got to set up a signing in his store. That would be like an all-time moment for me.
Absolutely.
But,
we can do it. We can make it happen.
Yeah. But I was always into the baseball cards, the backs more than the fronts. And I remember when I was about 9, 10 years old, me thinking I'm being super analytical, right? I'm bring up to my father. I'm like, "Dad, how, you know, Scott Rolen, he's our guy, but he shouldn't be wearing gold gloves. Look at Chipper Jones's fielding percentage is better. And Scott Rolen, in fact, is fifth among third basemen." And my dad, being the kind of guy that he is, he's like, "You're an idiot, right? Listen, Scott Rolen is making his errors on balls that nobody else is even getting to, right?" And I consider that my, like, intro to advanced defensive metrics. And then fast forward, you know, I had the arrogance to believe I was going to be a major league ball player until I was about 18 years old. And I got a – pardon me. I ended up getting cut from Penn State, not their varsity team, but their club baseball team. And it was at that point I was like, "Dude, you're probably not going to be a big league ball player. We got to figure out another way in." And I was studying economics at the time, heavy in statistics and advanced econometrics, and I was kind of good with the numbers. I had a professor, Daniel Goldstein, at Penn State, and he always used baseball in his probability problems, and it just clicked one day. I was like, "This is it. This is how I'm getting into baseball." But it still took me a good while. It was not until Cliff Lee's quote-unquote down season in 2012. I'm sure you guys remember he went 6-9, but all the other numbers were spectacular. And Philly fans, as we're known to do, are running around with their heads cut off because Cliff Lee's career's finished. He went 6-9, right? And I had discovered that season Cliff Lee actually became the first pitcher with at least 200 strikeouts and fewer than 30 walks since Cy Young in 1905. And I started calling in to all these Philly radio stations, as I used to. I used to call in to, I can't remember, Anthony Gargano all the time, whoever he was on with. And I'd call in with the moniker Dr. Burl, and he loved it. He'd always be like, "We got Dr. Burl on the line." And his, whoever his partner was didn't really care for the whole gimmick. And I hung up on a lot, especially when I started trying to spew numbers. And I couldn't get this fact out. I had to figure out a way to disseminate it, and that way for me was Twitter. And fortunately for me, the second person who followed me was Jason Stark, and he shared that. And the next thing I knew, I had 50 followers, and then 500. And I thought that was it. There's no way that there's that many people into these quirky baseball stats like me. And I guess fortunately, I was wrong.
Yeah, you seem to be doing okay with the Twitter stuff. Ryan, let's talk about the 2019 Phillies. They've had a rough 5 weeks. They're all the way down to number 18 in the latest MLB power rankings, incredibly, even though they're currently the second wild card team in the National League. How good or bad is this Phillies team right now?
Well, they're trending in the wrong way, and obviously, you know, that's not very analytical of me to say, but I think a lot's going wrong with this for this team. It's kind of the opposite of what we saw with the Washington Nationals, where they couldn't buy a win early on, but they couldn't keep anybody healthy. And now that's the Phillies' problem right now, where guys can't seem to get going. Harper, for example, although of late he hasn't been quite as bad. It's really difficult to call his performance bad, because anytime he's not that MVP type player, he's considered to be playing poorly. But just hasn't really been what, you know, what the Phillies paid for. And I know you wanted to get a little bit further into depth with that, and I've got some info for you guys on him. But I just think a lot's going wrong for this team right now. Going forward, I would like to see them make some moves, and let's not wait until the deadline. Let's get this done now. Let's start making some moves and progress towards whether it's the wild card or fight back for the division, because the Nationals aren't going to go away. Right now, as far as I'm concerned, if somebody's going to overtake the Braves, it's going to be the Nationals. I really don't see that team laying down at all. And we need Bryce Harper to get hot. Like I said, I got some info for you guys on him last year at this point in the season. Well, first, right now, he's what's he bat in? 253. 370, 470. Definitely not the Bryce Harper we were hoping for. But at this point last year, through 90 games, he was batting 215, 368, 471. So it's definitely even worse than what he was now. But then from that point on, he really performed for the Nats the rest of the way. And I guess a large part of that was after that super motivational home run derby he had, where he batted 294, 426, 529 the rest of the way. So if we can get that, or even better, I think that's really going to help carry the offense. My biggest concern right now, as with most of Philly, is the pitching. However, I will say that the offense is key, because the Phillies, anytime they score more than three runs in a game, they're winning games at an 80% clip. Three runs isn't all that much. You get over that three-run hump, you're going to win 80% of your games if you're this team. So the pitching hasn't really been as bad as I think we make it out to be. I think it's just it's been really largely mediocre across the board, although Nola's kind of turning it on of late. And I think that, for me, going forward, the offense is going to be key for this team.
Well, Ryan, being a stats guy, how do you like the – analytics as far as in the play, the field of play, and all the shifts and all the different things that they use? Us old timers struggle with that. How do you like it as a stats guy?
Well, first of all, I love this stuff. I love the idea of a competitive advantage in any way, shape, or form. I love playing poker, for example. I did for 9 months out of college when I couldn't find a job. And I love the idea of getting a competitive advantage. I love the idea of playing blackjack and counting cards and getting a competitive advantage over the house. I love that stuff. So I'm going to have to throw one question at you, though. Let's go 1970, where the second baseman stands, and the shortstop stands, where the shortstop stands, right? Do you know why, throughout history, they've stood where they stood in the field, players did?
I do not know.
It was probably analytical analysis that's where most of the balls went.
No, it's just because they were equidistant from each other. That's it. Nothing to do with where the balls went. It was just the idea that, well, if we put them equidistant from each other, then they're going to make most of the plays. And throughout history, we've discovered that's very incorrect. I mean, we go back to a guy like Ted Williams. Ted Williams was seeing these crazy shifts, 50, 60 years before we had the data to back up what teams were doing. And so me, I'm a huge fan of getting any kind of competitive advantage that you can. Let's not get into the competitive advantage that certain performance-enhancing drugs provide, but definitely take advantage of the data and the analytics if you can.
Hey, Ryan, I want to shift gears a bit and ask you about another Ryan. This Sunday, the Phils will have a retirement day for the great Ryan Howard. We all watched his terrific career, his 382 home runs. Put his career into perspective for us, especially what he did from his arrival in mid-2005 to 2011. He was really one of the best in the game. So, you know, how do you reflect on Ryan Howard?
So I try to remember Howard not by the way his career ended, which, let's be honest, it was poor. And he was somebody who was really killed by the shift. For me, Howard, his legacy really is that first 1,000 games when he hit the most home runs all time by a player through 1,000 games, 279. You know, he was big piece then. Another thing that I like about Ryan Howard, I shouldn't say I like, I really wish he hit one more professional home run, including the minors, because he's sitting at 499. I would really like to see the Red and, if they're not the Phillies, the Fightins, give him a couple plate appearances, try to get that number 500. But it's just the facts. I mean, from you said up till 2011. If you go what his wins above replacement, and I know that a lot, some people can take it or leave it, from 2012 to 2016, you're looking at minus 4.5. He was minus 4.5 wins. And for those who don't really know what wins above replacement is based on, it's the idea of a replacement player, which is a team of replacement players would go 54 and 108 over the course of a season. Ryan Howard was 4.5 wins worse than that. So I really try to not remember the tail end of his career where he's playing just because he had that monster contract. I wish the Phillies could have done something for him where he could have gone to a ballpark that would have maybe, you know, a Fenway Park or something, any DH that would have benefited him. But it's just a shame to see that those final five, some may even say six or seven seasons, the way that they tainted this legacy. And in my opinion, Howard is always going to be that guy, you know, that 58 home run guy, that guy who led the league in RBI three out of four seasons, and then 136 in the one that he didn't. And, you know, people throw RBI out, but come on, big piece was clutch for the Phillies. He hit at least 45 home runs in four straight seasons there. He was to me that what he used to always say, just get me to the plate, boys, right? And then there's one other thing. I'm trying to pull it up on the fly that that, you know, people a lot of times, how do you quantify what's clutch, right? And it's really not an easy thing to do, and there's several different ways that people try to do it. But we always remember those fantastic Septembers that Ryan Howard had, and just to apply the by the numbers kind of thing to that. I'm trying to pull this up on the fly, so you guys get up and forgive me here if I'm going slow. goodness, I'm sorry. I wasn't prepped for it. I don't got it.
That's okay.
If I can get it through the rest of the way, I'll drop it for you. But he was really special for the Phillies when it came time, when it came to that crunch time, when it came to the time to make a push for the postseason. And you know, that's how I try to remember him, not as the guy who kind of fell off towards the end of his career. And just, you know, he just wasn't really the same guy that we saw.
Yep, I'll be there Sunday looking forward to it.
Of course, now I've got it up. And I'll give you just the slugging. We can disregard the other numbers, but they're all fantastic. His slugging in September, in the final month of the season, from 2005 to 2011, like you brought up, 05, 708, 06, 750, 07, 630, 08, World Series year, 852, 09, 582, 10, 534, and then 11, 522. So to me, Ryan Howard, just get me to the plate, boys.
The guy was a beast. One final thing, Ryan, I want to ask you about. Did I see that you'll be heading to the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies next weekend?
Yes. I'm fortunate enough to be an invited guest of the great Edgar Martinez and his wife, Holly, of course. They were kind enough to extend an invite to me. Edgar's been a part of some of the work that I've done. He's blurbed our most recent book. Some of the pieces that I've written on him, he's injected his baseball expertise into. I'll tell you the one thing about Edgar, though. He's a pain in the butt when it comes to getting him talking about his career. Anytime I bring something up about him, he'd be like, yeah, but what about Dale Murphy, and what about Omar Vizquel and all these guys? He never wanted to talk about himself. He always wanted to talk about how great those who were playing around with him. And another example of this that it's one of my favorite stories to tell about Edgar. I told him the stat that I came across, that Tony Gwynn, considered by many the greatest hitter of a generation, some even but as all, of all time, Edgar Martinez would have to return to baseball and go 0 for 666 in order for his on-base percentage to fall below Tony Gwynn's. And
wow.
When I told Edgar Martinez that, he just said he was dumbfounded. He was like, no, it's not true. That's Tony Gwynn. There's no way that's true. And I was like, Edgar, man, it's true. I'm sorry. I'm the numbers guy here.
Well, hey, Ryan, as we wrap it up, tell us about the incredible baseball stats. Where can the listeners get it? Where is it available, and how can they follow you?
Well, I'm on Twitter, of course, the Ace of Spader, S-P-A-E-D-E-R. The book is – it's my pinned tweet, the best way to get it. So you can, if you want a signed copy, it's on my website, which is theaceofspader.com. As far as the book goes, we really, again, shoot for those – stats you're not going to find on the back of the baseball cards. We got two great forwards from Wade Boggs, and then Lance McCullers, man. Whew, he wrote us he tried to write a book of his own, and it was really cool getting him involved, because I remember asking him, and he's a friend of mine, and I hate asking favors of my friends, but when I asked him about it, he was like, you mean to tell me I get to, like, be a published author? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess kind of. And he was like, hell yeah, man, I definitely want to do this. You've got to be kidding me. I'm stoked. You know, and he was so excited to do it. And it was really cool to see. Like, he was bragging about getting to show his father, who was a good pitcher in his own right, about how he, you know, had a piece of the book. And it's just that it was just such a cool thing. And then as far as some of the numbers go, yeah, we touch on some of the classic stuff, like some of the when each chapter has like a sort of intro to the team, and we'll touch on we tried to avoid the, you know, all-time home run leader for the team, because most people know that stuff, but we touch on some of the more classic statistics, but then we take a deeper dive as you go throughout the chapters and go through each of the players. Things like you'll find in there, I got to pay homage to Edgar Martinez again. Edgar Martinez, from 1997 to 98, considered by many Ken Griffey Jr.'s best seasons, actually had an on-base percentage 1 point higher than Ken Griffey Jr. But not just that. That's 1 point higher when Martinez had two strikes against him than Jr. had overall. So those are the kind of facts that you're going to find in there. And again, it's just that whole not going to find him in the back of baseball card thing.
Awesome. Well, Ryan, we appreciate you taking the time to join us. Let's do it, and we'll work with Carl and get that signing done for you, too.
Yeah, that would be great, and I hope I didn't ramble too much on you guys. I love
it's
talking
all good, man.
This stuff. At least you're from the Philly area, so you can put up with my crazy accent anytime I do radio in San Francisco. Even here in D.C., they're always giving me crap about the way I string together my words, and, you know, I stutter a little bit and stuff. So I really appreciate you guys letting me come on.
All right,
thanks,
Ryan. Thanks a lot, my friend.
My pleasure. Take care.
Yeah, have a great day, okay?
Later. You too.
Let's take a break so I can tell you about the Irish Rover Station House in Langhorne, PA. I love to tell you about the Irish Rover every week. They have a great variety of food and drink on the menu with all sorts of specials. And they've just made some changes and added some new items to the menu, by the way. And always 24 beers on tap. That hasn't changed. Plus, trivia every Wednesday evening, karaoke many Thursdays, and a DJ every Friday night. And hey, mark your calendars. Shark Week starts July 28th at the Rover with Land Shark beer specials and shark cocktails. More about that as we get closer to the 28th. The Irish Rover is on Bellevue Avenue in Langhorne, and you can get more info on their website, irishroverstationhouse.com. And as a welcome back gift to my radio partner, a snippet from one of Bill Furman's favorite albums from the 1970s.
There you go, Bill.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good stuff, man. What a great song.
Yeah.
Wait,
that was one of my favorite albums, too. Yep.
Yeah, as we mentioned in the opening, the Sixers completely revamped from a week or so ago. Do you like where they are? Are they a better team now? They certainly lost some talent, but they gained some talent.
Yeah, I do like it. I mean, in your absence, Fred Hugo and I had a good discussion about the new-look Sixers last week, and as I told him, I'm pretty excited about this team now. I'm actually okay with the Jimmy Butler departure. I think it'll be a good opportunity for Tobias Harris to better show his skills. I really like the acquisition of Josh Richardson and the signing of Al Horford. Yeah, both Harris and Horford are probably being overpaid, maybe grossly overpaid, but that's not our problem. They added a couple of other guys, too, while saying goodbye to JJ, TJ, Bobby, and others. This new group should be very good defensively, and I know there are still some questions about who's going to take the big shot when needed down the stretch, and do they have enough offense coming off the bench? Yeah. But all in all, I'm optimistic, and with Kawhi going to the Clippers, the Sixers may very well be the team to beat in the Eastern Conference.
Well, I think that's probably true, especially with Toronto now having some problems. Boston has some problems. But, Chet, I want to ask you, I guess the process as we knew it has certainly taken a twist, but I guess you could not have done what you've done now if you didn't have the process. But it just seems like now when you look at all the guys that have come and gone, there's a lot of misses in this group for me.
Oh, yeah, a lot of misses. I mean, way too many misses. I mean, Joel Embiid is now the only player left from the time that Sam Hinkie was there. So they've really changed everything, and a lot of the guys were misses. I mean, Okafor was a miss, certainly. Markel Fultz, a major miss. He may never play in the NBA at this point. Who knows? But, you know, maybe it'll finally pay off. Looking at the odds to win the NBA Eastern Conference this year, the Bucks are 2-1. The Sixers are 3-1. So right now we could be looking at a Bucks-Sixers Eastern Conference final, and I'd be okay with that. I'd take the Sixers' chances. Yeah, a lot of changes for sure. And as I said, I'm optimistic that this group can get it done, at least get to the finals.
And don't forget that Nerlens Noel.
Yeah, you know, I was a big
fan of
him.
Who would want to forget him?
Fred and his mother gave me crap, but that's okay.
I do want to ask you one other thing while we're talking about the NBA. You saw my post I made on Facebook the other day about this whole teaming up thing, and it's kind of, you know, to me the league is a bit of a joke. And there were a lot of responses to that post, and almost every single one of them was in agreement that the NFL or the NBA is a joke. What thoughts?
I'm not going to use that term, a joke, but it's certainly different from the way it used to be. Let's put it that way. I don't have a major problem with guys, you know, kind of getting to pick where they want to play. And keep in mind, we're not talking about the whole league that can jump around. It's the 10 or 12 elite players in the league who can control their destiny to an extent. And I don't know if that's the worst thing in the world. I'd rather it wasn't the case, but I'm not going to say it's a joke. I'd rather it wasn't that way, but no, a joke is a little too extreme for me.
Well, we won't belabor this too much because we'll be talking a lot more about it, but I think that you're able to sit there and say you think the Sixers and the Bucks are the high portions of the East because no one else has a chance. And that's what bothers me. I think there's maybe six teams or so that are quality teams. And then the rest are has-beens that have no chance of winning. And to me, that's a problem for the game.
Yeah, you may be right there. But, you know, really that's the case, I think, in most of the professional leagues. I mean, do half of the teams in Major League Baseball have a legitimate chance? No, because a lot of them are smaller market teams who don't have the money to, you know, pay the higher salaried players that they need. And even in the NFL, I mean, I know there's a lot of parity, but there's also a lot of bad teams in the NFL who have no shot of winning. So, I don't know. I mean, it's just the way it is today. I mean, the salaries are ridiculous. You know, it's just so different from 20, 30, 40 years ago. But we sound like cranky old men if we complain about it, Bill.
Well, I don't know about that. I just like to be entertained, and I'm not sure that you're going to get a whole lot of entertainment every night. You'll get in the big games, and they'll be fun to watch. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of dud games. Or you're going to get bummed out because they lose to a bad team, and you're going to say, how'd that happen?
And that will happen occasionally, especially with guys, you know, doing the load management thing now. You may see Embiid, like Kawhi this past year, on purpose playing only 55 or 60 games to save up for the playoffs, because that's what it's all about now.
That's right. All right, Ted, hey, did you know that 56% of Americans have no idea how much they'll need to retire? If that sounds like you, you need to talk to Dave Lavoie from Allstate in Westchester, PA.
Yeah, very true, Bill. The same person you can count on to help protect you can also help you set a reasonable retirement goal, then show you the right financial solutions to help get you there. A good plan and a good life starts with someone you trust. So call Allstate agent Dave Lavoie in Westchester, Pennsylvania at 610-430-0700 and start planning for your retirement today. That's right, Dave Lavoie, 610-430-0700, 610-430-0700. And, Bill, here on July 10th, we say happy 70th birthday to the guy who did this song back in the early 80s, a guy by the name of Greg Kinn.
There you go. There you go. Hey, Chet, before we get to our Hall of Fame selections, there was a little soccer match that got an awful lot of attention over the weekend. Some of it for good reasons, some of it for not so good reasons. What do you think?
Yeah, well, you can talk about those issues if you want, but I'm going to focus on what Team USA, the women, did on the field. They beat the Netherlands in the final on Sunday, 2-0, and were very impressive in doing so. I got to watch the entire second half, and they were great, so we say congrats to Megan Rapinoe, Rose Lavelle, Carly Lloyd, Alex Morgan, and, of course, Julie Ertz on their great accomplishment. The parade was today in New York, so we wish them the best and say thank you for all that you've done.
Well, and if you're a soccer fan and you're purely a soccer fan, I think they certainly did everything we wanted them to do, but there is that other stuff, and I don't think you can just blow that off and say it didn't happen because – right or wrong, we have allowed politics to enter our sports world again.
Oh, yeah, there's the whole politics thing, unfortunately. There's also the thing about equal pay. And on that front, I'm going to tell you right now, they deserve equal pay. The team's success has translated into substantial revenue generation and profits for the U.S. Soccer Federation, as they say in their lawsuit. And, in fact, they've earned more in profit and revenue than the men, according to everything I've heard. So pay these ladies. Pay these ladies. As far as the stuff with the politics, I'm not going to get into that. I do want to mention one other thing, though. Carly Lloyd at the parade today in New York said this right here.
I'm a Jersey girl through and through, but New York, New York, it's just as close, even though I'm an Eagles fan down in Philly. So, fly, Eagles, fly!
Gotta love that.
I was going to ask you if you saw that or heard that, and that's great stuff. And hats off to Carly, one of the class acts. Not everybody was a class act, so we'll just leave that there for right now. How's that?
There you go. Let's do that.
All right. Hey, Chet, Philly Press Box Radio Hall of Fame time. The fans have answered the call for the 6th year. It's been fun. And somewhat surprising once again with some last-minute changes here today with some of the votes. So what was your thoughts on that?
Yeah, we got a lot of votes in the last 12 hours, I guess, and especially after you posted the final reminder this morning. And that's okay. You know, people have their right to change their minds about things and maybe get other people behind the guys they want to get in. So it's all good. And, you know, you think since we put 30 players in over the first 5 years that there might be some dilution of talent now, but looking at the names, there were a lot of great players on the ballot again this year and lots of tough choices for voters. And, yeah, I'm still surprised that some of the big names, Donovan McNabb, who just can't seem to get much support at all from Philly sports fans.
Hard to believe. Well, hey, just a reminder how this works. The fans have voted for 5 of the 16 players on the ballot for the last about 10 days. The top 3 fan vote getters are automatically inducted into our Hall of Fame. Chet, then you're going to pick one, and I'm going to pick one, and that'll make up the class of 2019. So that's how it works, and we closed it at 10 o'clock this morning, as you said, so let's get to it. We'll give a rundown of the 30 great Philly athletes that have already been selected to our Philly Press Box Radio Hall of Fame, and then we'll get to 2019. So our first
let's
class of 2014, sir?
Let's do it. You want me to do that one?
No, I got it. I didn't hear what
you said.
You got it, Go. Class of 2014, yeah. Wilt Chamberlain, Mike Schmidt, Steve Carlton, Bobby Clark, Bernie Parent, Chuck Bednarik, Steve Van Buren, Reggie White, Robin Roberts, and Julius Erving, all pretty knockouts there. Class of 15, Brian Dawkins, Richie Ashburn, Bill Barber, Joe Frazier, Pete Pihos. Class of 16, Eric Lindros, Pete Rose, Allen Iverson, Charles Barkley, and Hal Greer. The class of 17, Judy Arnold, Mark Howe, Moses Malone, Dick Allen, and Brian Propp. And the class of 2018, Bill Berge, Jim Bunning, Maxie Bond, Harold Carmichael, and Tommy McDonald. 30 guys, Chet, do you guys and gals, that you absolutely could not go wrong with.
No, those are all great names, absolutely. They all belong, and I think the five that we're going to put in this year also belong.
Absolutely. Well, that gets us to our class of 2019. You want to run down a list of nominees before we get to the vote outcome?
You got it. On the ballot this year, we had 11 holdovers from past years. Bob Brown, Mo Cheeks, Billy Cunningham, Randall Cunningham, Darren Dutch Dalton, Tim Kerr, Donovan McNabb, Mike Quick, Jimmy Rollins, Dave Schultz, and Chet the Jet Walker. New to the 2019 ballot this year then were Ryan Howard, Bobby Jones, Rick McLeish, the Tugger, Tug McGraw, and Wilbert Montgomery. So 16 real good names on the ballot in all.
Absolutely. So, Chet, we ended up with 625 votes cast. So we're going to run through the results. We're going to start from the bottom up. We have that drum roll ready, Mr. Chesko? There you go. Finishing 16, 15, 14, and 13. And Chet, dead last, and this is hard to believe, Donovan McNabb and Darren Dalton with just 6 votes out of 625. And they were followed by Chet Walker and Mike Quick.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. McNabb just never seems to get the support, and it's really, I think, his persona more than anything. Dutch Dalton, great guy, and we miss him, but in all honesty, I don't know that he belongs on here with his stats and, you know, his accomplishments on the field. Great guy, but I don't know that he's a Hall of Famer. Chet Walker and Mike Quick, certainly deserving of consideration, but they just haven't gotten the votes. All right, the next three, finishing 12, 11, and 10, coming in at 12th with just 17 votes, Randall Cunningham. And I'll be honest, I voted for Randall. I wanted to see him get in there, but he did not get the support. Number 11 was Bob Brown, just 22 votes, the great offensive lineman. I know Danny Bevins was campaigning for the Boomer to get in, but he didn't even crack the top 10 with the fan vote. And number 10, but not enough to get in with the vote, 31 votes, Jimmy Rollins in 10th place.
Yeah, all good choices, but way off the pace. Chet, 9, 8, and 7. I think we're getting into some of our real favorites list here. Mo Cheeks at 9, Dave Schultz at 8, and Ryan the Big Piece Howard finishes a distant 7th in his first year on the ballot.
Yeah, 3 more good names right there. And then 6, 5, and 4 on the list, just outside the top 3 that automatically gets you in. Coming in 6th place was the great Flyer forward, Rick McLeish. Coming in number 5, the Tugger, Tug McGraw. And incredibly, Bill, for I believe the 3rd year in a row, this guy slipped out of the top 3 in the final days and down to number 4. I don't know how it happens every year. Into the final hours to number 4 on the list before the voting closed. The Flyers' great Tim Kerr, again, just missing the top 3.
The scoring machine that he is. Well, Chet, that gets us to 3. So the next 3 are automatically in. So our newest member of the Hall of Fame in finishing 3rd, newcomer to the list, and very well deserving, I might add, Bobby Jones with 71 votes. He's in.
Yeah, he also went into the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame just this past year. So, heck, if he's in that one, he might as well be in ours, too. And the people voted him.
Well, I'm thinking that's kind of a secondary honor to being in the Philly Press Box Radio Hall of Fame.
Exactly, exactly. We'll try to get a hold of Bobby to come on and thank us for all the votes in the campaign. All right, finishing 2nd, and another new member of our Hall of Fame with a flurry of votes in the final 12 hours. I'm going to demand an investigation into that, Bill. Legendary Eagles running back Wilbert Montgomery got 83 votes, 13% of the total votes. So Wilbert is in.
Well, and, you know, Wilbert was sitting in that 4 spot for a long time. And, you know, he was close. And I was thinking to myself, all 4 of these guys are, you know, certainly deserve to get in. And then all of a sudden, Wilbert bumped up and got into that two spot.
Yeah,
and Jeff,
that
leads us to our leading vote getter and the newest member of our Hall of Fame, Billy Cunningham, with 97 votes. As I said, the leading vote getter, and Cunningham's been on this list for many years. And this year he comes out and finishes on top. Surprised me a little bit, actually.
Yeah, surprised me that he finished that high, but he's certainly deserving. And he was one of my favorite players as a kid, too. Billy C. coming off the bench as sixth man extraordinaire. And then he left to go to the ABA for a while, then came back. Billy Cunningham, one of my favorite Sixers. Congratulations. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I was a little surprised with Cunningham because he's a bit of an older guy. You know, Bobby Jones, a little more current. Bobby Jones getting in didn't surprise me. Billy Cunningham playing back in the 60s and 70s did surprise me just a little bit, I'd say, by being the leading vote-getter by quite a few votes, actually.
And, of course, he coached Bobby Jones on that championship team.
Yes, he did. Well, Chet, now it's up to you to make your pick. And I'll tell you what, this is easy. You already pretty much said who you were going to go with if he didn't get in. So let's see if you changed your mind.
You know, I had Ryan Howard all ready to go. But I promised that if Tim Kerr didn't get in by fan vote after just missing out the last 2 years, that he would be my choice. And I'm a man of my word, Bill. So Tim Kerr is in, very deserving, and not because he just missed out on making the Hall the last 2 years. He was one of my favorite Flyers in the 80s, and he was a beast in front of the net, particularly on the power play. Tim Kerr, a scoring machine during most of his 11 seasons with the Orange and Black. I mentioned this when we announced the candidates 2 weeks ago, but in 601 games as a Flyer, he had 363 goals. Another 287 assists, that's more than a point a game. Kerr is the Flyers' third all-time leader in goals and his sixth in points. He's still the team leader in career power play goals with 145. Tim Kerr, a five-time All-Star, and now he is a member of our Philly Press Box Radio Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. Much deserving, and if you didn't get him, I was going to. So he was getting in this year one way or the other, I think.
There you go.
So, Chet, I have the final inductee in this year's class, and I'm probably going to surprise you with this pick. Any guesses?
I'm going to say Danny Bevins paid you off, and you're going to go with Bob Brown.
That would be incorrect. I'm not going with Bob Brown, although I am nothing wrong with offensive linemen, and they certainly deserve all the love they can get, but Bob Brown is not getting my love tonight. Hmm.
Who
I am selecting, Chet, as I said, might surprise you, and that is going to be that Rick McLeish. Surprised, aren't you?
I'll tell you why, Chet.
I was won over by his 12 seasons as a Flyer. The longevity is really what put him over the top for me. Two Stanley Cup champions, 328 goals, 369 assists, 697 points, 50 goals, 50 assists in the 72-73 season, another 49 goals, 15 career hat tricks, three All-Star games, the game-winning goal in the first Stanley Cup in franchise history in Game 6 against Boston was probably, until Tug McGraw's out in the 1980 World Series, was probably considered the greatest moment in Philly sports history. McLeish scoring that goal. Led the playoffs with 13 goals and 22 points that year and didn't win the Conn Smythe Award. So I'm going with Rick McLeish, and I think he's very deserving.
Yeah, so two Flyers get in thanks to you and me. Congrats to Rick McLeish.
Absolutely. So, Chet, there you have it. That's our Philly Press Box Class of 2019. We have Bobby Jones, Wilbert Montgomery, Billy Cunningham, Tim Kerr, and Rick McLeish.
And now the breakdown regarding the 35 great Philly athletes that we have in our Philly Press Box Radio Hall of Fame is fairly even, a fairly even split among the four major pro teams. We have 10 Eagles, Bill, 8 Sixers, 8 Flyers, and 7 Phillies, plus two others, Joe Frazier and Judy Arnold. So there's the breakdown, and it's pretty evenly matched, as I said.
It certainly is. Interesting stuff. And the fans got it right, Chet. I don't think we can argue for 1 second with the three fan picks, and they left us good guys to pick as well.
Yeah, I think we all did a great job, so let's pat ourselves on the back.
Absolutely, and next year we'll be number 7, and we'll put more guys in. How's that? guys
yep,
and girls.
We shall. Yep.
All right, Ted. Hey, last call for the new Philly Press Box radio shirts. We're about out of the first order. I think we're down to six from that initial order. It's very close to time to reorder. Tell us about the shirts. And I'm thinking that this next order, as we get closer to football season, we might take those reds and turn that red into green. And same logo, same setup, but a little more green for football season.
Yeah, let's do it. But in the meantime, here's the deal. We've sold polo shirts in the past, but since early May, we've been selling these nice new Philly Press Box Radio T-shirts. They're available in sizes medium through 2XL, and we have them in red as well as in gray and in black as far as, you know, the full shirt. In each case, it is our red logo on the front for these and our sponsors' logos on the back. And get this, you can choose from regular material or dry fit. Prices are $15 for regular, $17 for dry fit. If you need them shipped, add $7 for one or $10 if you're ordering two. And as you noted, we have fewer than 10 in stock right now, so we'll have to see if we have exactly what you need in your size. But ask us, and we'll try to hook you up.
Absolutely. Hey, Chet, I may have thrown you for a little loop in the opening when I mentioned July being the last month of the year without football. You know, most people aren't really in the football mode here as we're going to the beach for the weekend and doing those things. You ready for football?
I'm not entirely ready just yet, but on the other hand, when is it a bad time for football? Training camp does open in 2 weeks, and as mentioned, the Eagles have their first preseason game exactly 4 weeks from tomorrow. It is August 8th, so I'm sure I'll be ready by then, especially with, you know, so many changes that the Eagles have made. I think I heard today somewhere, or saw it on social media, that the Eagles have completely or half overturned their roster, 50% from the team that won the Super Bowl just, what, like 17 or 18 months ago. That's amazing. Half of the guys are gone.
Yeah, well, and that's the nature of football these days, especially football with such short careers. And the salary cap the way it is, guys got to go. They just don't keep them around much.
And did you see Connor Barwin is trying to get his way back on the team? He's been talking to Howie, and they want to see if they can work something out. I wouldn't mind bringing Connor Barwin back to, you know, come in and play like 10 or 12 plays a game like Chris Long did it sometimes.
Yeah, if he can be that effective and he's going to play on the cheap. I mean, he I don't know his age off the top of my head, but he's not a young
Just
guy. And he may
32.
Have one more year. 32?
Yeah.
You know, he may have one good year left with him. I have no problem with that. And he's certainly been a great citizen for Philadelphia, even after he's been gone. So I have no problem that and a class locker room guy like him.
Yeah, he is a classy guy. So I wouldn't mind seeing that, and hopefully they can work something out.
Yep. What are you thinking probably excites you the most about this year? I can tell you for me, it's this running back situation. I think for once we have a stable full of running backs, that are much better than what we've had in the last few years. And there's offensive weapons all over the place for Carson Wentz.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree with you on the running backs. They got four guys who theoretically, you know, could play and play well. I want to see what the rookie Miles Sanders brings to the team. Of course, we followed him at Penn State. And, you know, Josh Adams, when he was in there and healthy before he got hurt, he was pretty good from weeks like 7 to 12 or whatever it was. So don't count Josh Adams out just yet. And, of course, Corey Clement, if healthy, will be, you know, fun to watch. And the new guy, Jordan Howard, is that his name? I'm forgetting already, from Chicago.
Jordan, yep.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So a lot of guys who contribute at running back, and I'm excited to see how they spread the ball around there as well as with the receivers and the two tight ends. So I can't wait to see this offense.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about Corey Clement. You know, I've always liked him. And was excited when they got him. And last year, I'm going to venture to say he did not want play one play healthy the entire season.
Yeah.
And it certainly showed. He didn't play very well, and he just couldn't get on track, and he just wasn't healthy. So I'm looking forward to a bounce back from him.
Me as well. Preseason football 1 week or 4 weeks from tomorrow, 4 weeks.
Yeah, and one other thing that we're always going to have to talk about all year, I think, is going to be that Jason Peters and that offensive line and their health, and Brooks coming off surgery, Peters being old and banged up, and, you know, that they're not going to – they can have all the weapons in the world. They can't block anybody. They're going to have problems.
Yeah, and we'll see how long Peters stays healthy, because that's always a concern.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, Ted, another great guest tonight. So tell us who's coming to Philly Press Box Radio next week.
Well, next week, Bill, for the third straight week, we're going to have a first-time visitor joining us, and I'm sure you'll be happy with this one. She is a sports anchor and a reporter who grew up in Delran, a Rutgers grad who also spent some time in Hawaii, and who later this month celebrates her one-year anniversary at NBC Sports Philly. She does a great job on there, and I'm, of course, talking about Taryn Hatcher, and we're thrilled to have her join us here on The Big Show live next week.
Awesome, awesome. Just saw her on the show this weekend. She's always good to listen to.
Yep, and there may be a second guest, but that's not definite just yet. So for now, it's Taryn Hatcher and you and me.
All right, sounds great. Well, Chet, let's give a shout-out to the PPCC118 Raz Room. They post great sports memorabilia on their Facebook page so people can take a chance of winning something they may not be able to afford or have access to. The items come with certificates of authenticity. They've continued to run out great autographed memorabilia from all the Philly sports teams and more. There are only 21 lines available, so your chances of winning are 1 in 21. Pretty good odds. Check out their Facebook page. Like it or follow it. It's PPCC118 Raz Room. That's right. PPCC118 Raz Room on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I'm having a little trouble
here,
Chet.
Bill. Hang in there.
I got it. Almost to the end. Well, Chet, do you have a parting shot tonight? I do not. I've been at work all week, and I just haven't had time to breathe.
I do. Here we go. This is an important 3 weeks for the Phillies on the field, beginning this Friday with a 7-game homestand against the hot Washington Nationals and the best-in-the-league Dodgers. 7 games against those two good teams. It's also a huge 3 weeks for general manager Matt Klentak. Anybody who's been watching his team the last 3 months knows that the Phillies are in dire need of starting pitching help. While Aaron Nola seems to be back to his 2018 form, the rest of the staff is pretty much a huge question mark. Inconsistent starts, injuries, and ability to pitch into the sixth or seventh inning isn't there. You name it, these guys have issues. What to do about it? Well, that's the big question for Klentak. There's not a whole lot of help in terms of big league-ready arms at either AA or AAA, and beyond Alec Bohm, there's not a lot of top-level prospects that other teams, a.k.a. trading partners, would likely want in exchange for one of their pitchers. So that's the dilemma facing Klentak. Now let's see if he can pull a rabbit out of his GM hat and turn this Phillies team into a legitimate contender, because right now, although they're alive in the wild card hunt, very much alive, they're not going anywhere with the current pitching staff as it's constituted. So good luck, Matt. We're counting on you.
Well, hey, while we have about 30 seconds to talk about that, I want to throw out, since you mentioned it, what about the Gabe Kapler comment on WIP today that Jake Arrieta at 85% is a better option than what we have at AAA? That is not a good thing to say.
I didn't hear him say that, but it's sad but true. And, yeah, Arrieta is going to pitch this weekend despite the problems that he's gotten physically because they just don't have anybody else. So until Klentak makes a trade, that's what we're going to have to hope for, that he can get you into the sixth inning or whatever and then hope the bullpen, you know, can get you through the rest of the game. That's why I say I am not optimistic about this pitching staff. Matt, do something, please.
Absolutely. And if Arrieta at 85% is better, I'd like to know what he thinks – Velasquez percentage is be better than AAA because they're terrible.
Don't get me started.
They're terrible. Oh, my goodness. And one final comment, Chet. Jake Arrieta on denting somebody's head. Thoughts on that one?
Yeah, Todd Frazier, and there may be some repercussions for Jake for saying that kind of stuff. I don't know. Happy 47th birthday, Sofia Vergara, one of my favorites.
Hey, and happy 33rd birthday, Mike Furman. How about that one?
I saw that yesterday. Happy birthday, Mike.
All right, Chet. With that, we've reached the top of the hour. Let's thank our special guest, Ryan Spader, our sponsors, Irish Rover Station House, Bob Sullivan's LakeYourAge.com, PPCC118 Raz Room, and Dave LaVoy of Allstate Insurance in Westchester for their continued support of the show. For Jim Chetchesco, this is Bill Furman. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll join Philly Press Box Radio next Wednesday, July 17th at 7 p.m. High hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.
Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay.